The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Okay, welcome back. It's now time for our old-time radio segment. You'll be listening to The Inner Sanctum, Desert Death, first aired in 1945. Enjoy.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good evening, friends. This is Raymond, your host. Welcome again to the Inner Sanctum. Come in, won't you? You'll have to excuse me for not getting up, but I have an awfully stiff neck. You see, I was out with a certain lady last night who collects very curious things. She spent the first half of the evening telling me how wonderful I am, but after that... Well, it's one thing when a girl tries to turn your head. It's another when she tries to twist it off. And now let me invite you to come to the desert and hear the story of Desert Death. It's an original tale written by that spinner of surprise stories, Robert Newman. And our star tonight is Horace Braham. The desert, eerie and mysterious at sundown. The sun sinking slowly in a purple haze. The cactus casting long and weirdly twisting shadows. The hot winds still. The silence over all. Driving fast, a dusty car comes down the narrow desert road. At the wheel is Dan Darrell, a rancher. Next to him is his Indian friend, Toby Priest.
Still worrying, Toby?
Stop teasing me, Dan. You know I never did worry. I just told you what my people used to think it meant.
Used to think? Didn't you say we ought to postpone our trip into town today?
I did.
And when did you say it? Right after you saw them. Three vultures lying together toward the sunset. That means 3 days. A bad omen for a journey. Hey. Look.
I see him.
What's a man doing out here in the middle of nowhere on foot? Anything the matter, stranger? Need any help?
You're very kind. Our car broke down and... Well, we were in a bit of a spot. Didn't know whether anyone would be likely to come along here or not.
I didn't see your friends. Well, climb in. We're going to Palo Verde. We're glad to take you that far.
Well, that's very decent of you. Thanks.
Thank you. My name's Darrell, Dan Darrell, and this is Toby Priest.
And I'm very happy to know you. I'm Richards, and this is Brennan and Smith.
How do you do?
Howdy. You're British, ain't you?
Why, yes. Clever of you to spot it. We're on our way out to the coast. One of those hush-hush missions. That's why it's so important we get into town.
Oh, sure, sure. Which way'd you come? Medicine Creek or Route 12?
Medicine Creek. It sounded more scenic.
You're lying, Dan. You know that, don't you?
What makes you say that,
Toby? Use your head. He doesn't look.
Mr. Darrell, surely it's considered rude to whisper in front of strangers, even here in America, isn't it?
What? Oh, sorry.
Yes, I'm sure you will be. But first I must insist on knowing what you were saying.
Insist? What do you mean, insist? This is my car and this is a...
I know. A free country. But this is a gun. That's why I can insist. Now, will you tell me what you were saying?
I was saying it, so I'll tell you. I said you were lying, that you weren't British at all.
No? Then who are we?
I think that you're Nazi prisoners who escaped from that camp up near Post City.
Oh? And what makes you think that?
First, none of your clothes fit you, so they're obviously not yours. Second, you said your car broke down, but there wasn't any car around. Third, you said you came by way of Medicine Creek, and that road's closed.
All right. Stop the car and let us get it over with.
You mean shoot them? Not so quick, Venner. We can use them for a while yet. At least one of them.
What the devil do you mean?
Of course, your Indian friend is right. Very clever, too. But since I have a gun, you will take orders from me. Our first need is water. You have any in the car?
No.
And then we will have to find some.
Yeah? Where'd you expect to find water in the desert?
I told you we were Nazis, Darrow. I did not tell you that we were Rommel's men from the Africa Corps. That means we know the desert, any desert, better than anyone on Earth. Those hills off there to the left. Take the left-hand road at that fork there and head toward them.
But do as I say.
How much further you want me to go up this wagon track?
Slower. Isn't that the shack right next to the cliff. Stop.
Looks deserted, but there, next to it. Is that not a well?
It should be. Renner, go see if there's any water in it.
Jawohl, Herr Colonel.
You two come with us. We'll go look at the shack. What is this place? Those terraces up there on the cliff.
A pueblo. Cliff dwellings. Centuries ago, my people lived in villages like this.
There is water in it, Herr Colonel. Even a bucket to get it up with.
Good. Come into the house. Match, Schmidt. From the dust, I'd say no one had been here for a good many years. Prospector's cabin, wasn't it?
Probably.
That means... there's what I want. Shovel.
What the devil do you want that for? Want to dig yourself a grave?
Yes, Darren, exactly. But not for me.
Huh? What you mean?
Precisely what I said. Sit down. Make yourselves comfortable and I will explain things to you.
I'll stand if you don't mind.
Oh, not at all. We Nazis are very objective, analytical people. We decided we needed a car to make our escape in. Now we have one. We also decided we needed someone to drive the car and get us safely across the border. That means we can use one of you. The other one will die.
You wouldn't dare.
My dear Darrow, outside of the thousands of men we killed in North Africa who don't count, we killed at least two guards in making our escape. Do you really think one more death means anything to us? The only question is, which of you shall die?
This one here. He talks too much.
Well, that's not quite fair, Brenner. He's just, shall we say, less stoical than the Indian. On the other hand, I think that in the long run, he would probably prove easier to handle, less dangerous. That means that the Indian dies.
What? Why, you...
Shut up, you!
Thank you, Brenner. Schmidt, take the gun, the shovel, and our Indian friend, and watch over him while he digs his grave. Very nice. Very nice indeed. Of course, I personally would prefer a deeper grave, but that's up to you.
The depth is not important. The only thing that matters is that it faces west. That is why I dug it with the head against the cliff. An old tribal custom.
Very interesting. Similar to the Egyptians. But of course, they believed in a life after death.
My people believe in a life after death also, Colonel. And in this case, I think I can promise that I will not rest easy in my grave.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Hear this too, men from across the seas. Men with death in your hearts. For the evil you would do, evil will follow you like a hungry wolf.
What is that?
What he just mentioned. A wolf.
Though you bury me deep, the earth will not hide me till you have paid for your crimes. Here where you have killed, here too will you die.
Now, Herr Colonel.
Yes, Brenner.
Oh, you can't, you...
Oh. Very good, Schmidt. I'll take the gun now. Fill in the grave, then meet us back at the cabin.
What a place. It's worse than Quatara.
I wish you'd sit down, Darrell, and stop staring out of the window.
You're worried about your friend. I buried him very nicely.
I'm not worried about him. I'm thinking about what he said before you killed him. I should think that you think about it, too.
That? We have had more curses laid on us in more languages than you have hairs on your head.
What's that?
Must be the wind. No. No, it is different. More like some kind of musical instrument.
But there's no one around here but us. There hasn't been anyone living in those houses up on the cliff for centuries.
It's just the wind, I tell you. But if you want to, go take a look.
Go take a look, I said.
Jawohl, Herr Kohl.
It's too dark. There's too much sand blowing to see anything. But wait. Go there near the foot of the cliff. There's something. It looks like... Lieber Gott! It's the Indian! He's lying there! Out of his grave!
Oh, you bury me deep. The earth will not hide me. But you are paid for your crimes. Here where you are killed. Here too where you die. A 100 curses in a dozen different tongues. Perhaps they did mean 3 deaths. If so, who are the others that'll die and who'll live?